Welcome to this episode of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network. I'm your host, Bob Ross. Today, we welcome two members of the Bainbridge Prepare team in our series to discuss family reunification and emergency flotilla aspects. I'd like to welcome Tammy Ellen and Kari Seabolt Murphy. Thank you both for being here today.
Hello, thank you. Nice to be here.
It's good to have you here. Well, every time we sit down with the various Bainbridge Prepare team, it seems like the thing we're talking about is the most important part of what this is all about. So let's just start with this whole idea of family reunification. If there's a disaster, an emergency to deal with, what are some things we need to be aware of and think about?
There is a lot. Parents that I speak to are often very much unaware that the ferries probably aren't going to get them home from Seattle, and the bridge probably will be down. So we have created a 3-day plan from the time of an event, and we're assuming chances are it will be during the school day. We will have the kids, the island kids, stay with their teachers where they are, whether it's daycare or it's an after-school group or it's the school district. And then we will request parents to very orderly, please. I know it's very hard.
Sure.
But it's going to take us a while for our school emergency managers to get things set up for you to come and pick up your child. So we ask you that you give us a little bit of time and then come that first day and come get your child. On the second day, if you have room, and we still have children waiting to be picked up because their parents are off island, we ask you to come back and pick up the kids that are on that where you are on their top 10 list. And that list is really important. The school district and actually all of the youth serving organizations on the island ask for it. And it's basically a list of 10 folks that can come and get your child if you can't. It's really important because we often put things like Aunt Sarah in Iowa. You know, Aunt Sarah in Iowa is not going to get here to pick up your child. We also see, well, I live down by Blakely, and I'm going to put my best friend who lives up at Bloedel. That's also probably not a good choice because we don't know how transportation is going to be. Mm-hmm. So you want to pick people close to you, and you want to make sure they know that they are on your top 10 list and vice versa. At the end of day two, everything that is currently in those locations will get packed up. And on day three, everybody will arrive at the Bainbridge High School. And the youth-serving adults will arrive with the children. They will all have color-coded Tyvek bands, so we'll know which school and organization they're from. And we will have all of the support that we need from our psychological first aid team, from our wellness team. We'll have animal care, the whole nine yards. And the reason we're doing this is the bad thing about disasters is that they happen and they're usually not great. The good thing is we learn so much about how to prepare for the next one. And what we have learned from looking at past disasters is it's really critical that we take care of our children, that we provide a safe place for them to be comfortable and wait out their parents' arrival. And so that's kind of what we're doing with the Child Reunification Center at the high school.
I see. And Kari, how is this reunification plan managed? How do people get in touch with it? If they're listening to this podcast and they're saying, wow, I don't even know about this. So where do they touch?
So we are going to be launching a big campaign in the fall where we're going to put out postcards at the schools. We'll have posters at all of the public places on the island that will talk about this 3-day telescoping model. It will also talk about the importance of your family having a plan and that those top 10 people know that you're on that list. Yeah. We do have a team of folks that will be at the Reunification Center to welcome the kids that arrive with their adult chaperones. And then we will have dormitories, we'll have a kitchen, we'll have snacks and water ready for when they come, and we'll have a first aid station. So basically, we're going to be a giant daycare, I guess, with a big heart for this island and its children. We're also looking at taking care of the kids who are not Islander kids, kids who are in transit across the island from the bridge to the ferry or vice versa, kids who are at Islands Wood or any other off-Islanders who are here whose parents are not.
Yeah. In our neighborhood, we're very active with the mapping program and so forth, and there are several kids in the neighborhood as well. So through the neighborhood, the mapping program, there'll be lines of communication to the reunification plan as well.
We will. And we're also going to rely very heavily on the Map Your Neighborhood on neighborhoods closest to the high school.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I think they're the most and the longest prepared. So, so if you... if a disaster would happen in those days prior to the children arriving at the child reunification center, and you want to come and donate something, a game, a stuffed animal, you want to come and help clean up glass or, you know, unfold blankets, that's
sure.
Great. Once the children arrive, only background checked adults will be allowed into
sure.
the building.
Yeah, that makes good sense for sure.
So the other question you had too is, How do we reunite families? And that's going to be a real challenge. We are going to rely very heavily on the flotilla to get folks back on the island. You know, we don't know if the ferries are going to be running. We're pretty sure that if we have a big earthquake, the bridge is going to be down. It's an old bridge. Mm-hmm. And so we want to try and avoid parents trying to swim across that agate pass.
Exactly.
So... Tammy and her crew have put together a fantastic group of boaters, and they've been willing to start to transport people. It probably won't be immediately because their first priority is to get first responders to the island. But if you're off island, I would suspect within the first 3, 4, 5 days, maybe longer, there will be locations for you to be picked up and brought back.
Well, Tammy, the flotilla seems like a pretty important set of operations here.
It definitely is. And if you think, you know, a couple of leads, and I'm glad that Kari mentioned Bainbridge Prepares to find out how all these teams work together.
Yeah.
Several years ago, before we had such a robust program, I remember a mother calling me and saying, I'm so glad to hear about the flotilla because I have a child at Bush School and that's just perfect. It's like, whoop, hold up. Have you done Map Your Neighborhood? Do you know about the hubs? There are many, many things that will happen before we're just going to have a child amazingly get on a boat. But I love Kari's 3-day approach. We need more boats. And if you think about, there's a video called Boat Lift, where after 9/11, so many people were stranded on the shoreline and boats came. They were random, spontaneous boats that wrote the names of the towns they were going to on sheets with a spray can, loaded and took people out of that area. That's kind of where that idea came from, Boat Lift. And then if you look at the Cajun Navy, where moved people, even one guy in a jet ski in the Bahamas saved 100 people. Those are more like the emergency rescue. We're much more planned out. Because we'll have vulnerable populations on the boats, our captains have to have a background check. So if you're interested in what Kari was talking about with volunteering, if you're interested in being on a boat, bringing a boat, it's a process of getting an emergency credential. It's painless. It's worth doing now. We will still try to process spontaneous volunteers, but we really want to start training our captains. We did a just on-water drill to move staff members, and it takes about 4 volunteers to move 1 staff member. So the same formula for moving families across the moat to get back to their home, and it is their priority. That is, I agree. We don't want frantic parents trying to get in the water or get across or worry that they have to. If they can work with our Map Your Neighborhood, with the hubs, with the reunification plan. And it's true, our priority is that we need to get the response workers here first.
Sure.
But as seats become available and as coordination can happen, the other piece about not having ferries and not having a bridge is probably not having a phone. So as many of the neighborhoods that can start looking at amateur radio, technician's license, and getting that kind of equipment so they are in the loop. Our hubs are working on that. Our captains are working on that. So having the go, so now I'm thinking about the folks I talk to on the ferry. So I love asking this question when I'm on the ferry. Halfway across, I say, so if this ferry hadn't been here, where would you be now? And how long are you ready to stay there? What did you have under your desk? Are you coming home from a doctor's appointment, or do you do this every day? Is your car on the car deck? That's going to be here for a while. How would you have done this?
Yeah.
And I get a variety of answers, but really having that go bag at work, being ready to sit it out 3-4 days on whatever side of the water you're on. And we realize the people that came to Bainbridge for a week-long camp, they're probably prepared, but the one that came with a water bottle and a phone may not be ready. So there is a whole nother family that we're trying to unite. And those aren't families that are, you know, signed up with their neighborhood or have ever even heard of Bainbridge Prepares.
Yeah. I'm hearing you both say a couple of things that I think need to be repeated, and that's the importance of knowing about Map Your Neighborhood, knowing about the idea of the hubs. You can learn about that by going to Bainbridge Prepares and just Google it, and it's right there before you. And Tammy, you were also saying in terms of a flotilla, can you kind of explain what you mean by the flotilla? What is the concept, the idea?
You bet. So there's a variety of vessels on our flotilla. They're all privately owned. They're captained by usually the owner. The captain still needs crew, so it takes about 4 people. So we've got, imagine a trawler, a 50-foot trawler, not at the shoreline because we're going to assume that docks have been damaged and we're going to access the beach. So you're Ann, and you're in charge of our EOC, and you're on the Kitsap side. We would have a boat, and then from there deploy a dinghy to the beach for you, an important essential staff member, thank goodness, to put you into a dinghy, onto a larger boat, shuttle you across, back in a dinghy, onto the beach. We would do that. That's kind of our first drill that we're going to practice in June. And it involves small dinghies that can beach. It involves a larger boat that can move a lot of people. We might have this kind of a ferry system where we're going to plan to load a bunch of people. We also might have a taxi system where we'd have to go to get a specific person. But we can accommodate, as seats are available, the non-essential members. And what we want, we also need to prioritize those. So we'll be marshaling another priority, the way to prioritize that. So with staff, we've prepared them. We're going to give them the information ahead of time. With families, we may have to coordinate through hubs or through some other emergency services on the Seattle side or the Kitsap side for them to be able to arrange that. If the families can figure all that out ahead of time, there's an excuse to buy a boat. One family member has it. But they've got to train down all their other family members because they may be the one that's getting picked up.
Just like planning for a fire in your household, you should have a process set up. You need to know how to deal with it. Things are becoming a lot more clear for me as you talk, and we talk about both the family reunification as well as the flotilla. On the flotilla side of things, we've got the Seattle-Bainbridge connection. And then we have the Kitsap Peninsula Bainbridge connection.
Correct.
So those are kind of two key things in terms of flotilla activity. And I also heard you say, I believe, that you're still looking for people to become part of a flotilla organization?
Absolutely. We had a drill in October, and that taught us quite a bit about how much help we need aboard each boat to run the dinghy and amateur radio.
Yeah.
And then the person running the boat. So that given, we know that even if you don't own a boat, we need you as crew. So you don't need to own a boat. Mm-hmm. And if you own a boat, you don't need to do it all yourself. We'll help find you crew. The credential is the starting place, and they can go to Bainbridge Prepares and look for flotilla and click on the application.
Yeah.
And then you enter all your boat information. So we need more boats and then four times as many crew. And on any given day, out of 100 vessels, I may only have 25 captains available. So I really want a deep roster to work with.
Sure.
And Stuart Skadron Waddles has been doing an incredible job recruiting and organizing my data so that we know what we have, and we're not there yet.
Okay. So it sounds like you need some more participants. Go to Bainbridge Prepares website. I know flotilla's there as a line item. I saw it just recently. So
good.
Well, we're about ready to wrap up here, but I wanted to go back to you, Kari, and just kind of go over some of the key things. You've got a 3-day plan that you articulated so well. And I think for people listening, they're probably relieved to hear that that's in process. And that's going to be available to people pretty easily now.
If you go to the Bainbridge Prepares website, we have mm-hmm. the Child's Safety and Family Reunification page, and there's a lot of information on there about the top 10 list for your school or your after-school activity or your daycare. It also has information about how you can volunteer to be part of the crews. We're looking for 3 shipped to manage the reunification center when it's up and running, so we don't burn our crews out. And
sure.
the reunification center will stay open until the last kid is picked up.
Yeah,
so, yeah, we have your back, Bainbridge.
Okay, cool. All right, I just want to say it again for everybody listening. Do your map the neighborhood part. Learn about the hubs and go to Bainbridge Prepares and see what's there. It's really cool stuff. Well, Tammy and Kari, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
It's been great.
My pleasure.
And thank you for listening to this episode of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network.